Now, as we continue with our lessons from the book of Exodus, we are going to look today at chapter 8. Now, in this chapter, we are brought face to face with the account of the second, the third, and the fourth plagues that God brought upon Egypt. And we ought to take note of the word of God with its demand, and the warnings of God to Pharaoh, and the work of God displaying His mighty power. Before we read from the Scriptures, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again. How much Thou hast taught us that we need Thee, for we need Thee every day, we need Thee every hour of the day, and when we come to Thy Word, we need Thy help. So as we read the Scriptures today, grant that every listener shall be blessed. May the truth of Thy Word reach all our hearts today, and may the Lord be glorified thereby. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. Now, in connection with this second plague, for we looked at the first plague in our last lesson, now today we're going to look at the second plague, found in verses 1 through 15 of Exodus chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up, and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. I'll read it, verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now let us examine a little this first plague. Now, it's the plague called the frogs. When I say the first plague, I mean the first plague in this chapter. We already studied the plague number 1 in chapter 7. In chapter 8, we have 3 plagues. Now, here is the plague, then, of the frogs. Now, this plague is directed against another form of Egyptian idolatry. The frog to them was an idol. They worshipped this creature. Now, notice, then, the significance of the plague. The frogs are mentioned in this chapter 11 times. Then you'll find them mentioned twice in the book of Psalms, and finally in the book of Revelation. A study of Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, will show that frogs are associated with uncleanness and proceed from the enemies of God. And so, if we have a grasp of the significance of this plague, it is directed against one of the idols of Egypt, that which was associated with their idolatry. And then, of course, it shows that it is associated with uncleanness. Think for a moment or two regarding the severity of this plague. Take note of the 7 places mentioned in connection with where the frogs, with their uncleanness, would be found. First of all, he said, they shall be in your houses. They'll come up into the house. Now, if they're going to come into the house, may I remind you that is the place of responsibility. The very idol that they worshipped, the thing that spoke of uncleanness, would be found in the house, the place of responsibility. No doubt the place where they worshipped. Then it'll go more than that. It'll go into the bedchamber. Now the bedchamber is the place of private retirement. And yet this unclean idol will be seen in there. And then it will be seen in your beds. That's the place of rest by night. So the house is going to be upset with this unclean idol. And then the bedchamber, the place for private retirement, that's going to be upset and made unclean. Then even when you go to your bed at night, the place where you want to rest, you'll be unable to rest, for this unclean thing will disturb you there. It will affect your servants, he said. It'll come into the servants' house, which means that the servants were the people who ruled under Pharaoh. They were the men that he commissioned, and so they were going to be affected by this unclean idol whom they had worshipped. Then it will go out to all the people. That is, the people who were ruled by Pharaoh. They would be affected. He says, it will go into thine ovens. The food being prepared for refreshment, that would be affected. The kneading troughs, the place where the food was being prepared or getting ready for refreshment. You see, my friend, when people turn to a thing that is unclean, it's going to affect them in every area of their life. That uncleanness, that idolatry, will be seen in the home. It then will upset the home and make the home unclean. It'll upset the place for retirement. It'll upset the place for rest. You'll not be able to sit down or go to bed or rest. The uncleanness is there. And it will start with those in places of authority, come down to the place of the people who are ruled. It's going to affect the very food that they eat in every aspect of life and in every area of life. This thing is going to affect them. Now watch for a moment now the sequence of this plague. The imitation of the magicians in bringing forth frogs, they were able to do that. But they had no power whatever. They had no ability to restrain or remove the frogs. All they could do was bring forth more uncleanness. But you see, Pharaoh wanted rid of them. Moses and Aaron had the power to stop the frogs. They had the power to get rid of them, but not so the magician. And so therefore we see that the devil may be able to bring forth uncleanness and more uncleanness. He may bring forth sin and iniquity, but he has got no power to get rid of it. He's got no power to stop it. You see, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth death. It's like some of the diseases that afflict the human race. They're there all right, but there's no way of getting rid of them. Only God can bring the cure. Notice then the sequence of this plague. The imitation of the magicians. They imitate what Moses and Aaron had done in bringing the judgment, but they cannot remove it. Now, there's the proposition of Pharaoh to allow the Israelites to go and do sacrifice if only God would withdraw the frogs. Now that is an interesting part of this story. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. They gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, you notice that God, before he brings his judgments, gives a time of respite. There's always time for man to repent. There is time for man to get right with God. You see, in the beginning, God brought that judgment upon them, and then it says, and 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. 7 days before he brought on this second plague, the plague of the frogs. And God gives that time of respite. You see, God is slow to come out in judgment, but when the time comes, God's stroke of judgment falls. When God put Noah into the ark, or invited him to come in, 7 days later before the door was shut, see, God gives time for men and women to repent. And now, afterwards, after Moses has interceded with God, and there's the removal of the plague, Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. You know, it's a strange thing. People find themselves in difficulties. They find themselves facing problems. Some have found themselves on a bed of sickness, which they thought was going to prove to be the last. They've cried to God for mercy, and God has raised them up. And instead of turning to God and giving their life to God, they've turned again into the paths of sin. That has been seen over and over again. Even atheists, when they're about to die, as they thought, have cried to God for mercy. And then they started reading the Bible, and then when they get better, they throw their Bible away and they go back to their atheism again, and they forget about God and His mercies and His blessings. Oh, my friend, if God has been dealing with you, don't be like Pharaoh. Don't harden your heart, for the next stroke of judgment may be greater than the one you've already had. And so when we come to verses 16 through 19, there's another plague. It's really the second plague in this chapter, but it is the third plague upon Egypt. Notice what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice through all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, that became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Notice now the suddenness of this plague. Pharaoh has hardened his heart. Remember, he's the leader of the people. God gives them a time of respite. And when Pharaoh hardened his heart, then the Lord said to Moses, ask him to stretch forth his rod again, without any warning. See, in the other times, there was a warning. He goes in before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go or else. Saying then, let my people go or else, thus says the Lord. This time, he doesn't go in before Pharaoh at all. There's no warning for this third plague. God has spoken once, yes, he has spoken twice. And Pharaoh has refused to listen. Now the third time, he simply says this, tell Aaron to stretch forth his rod. Oh, the suddenness of this plague. Without any warning, this plague descended upon the Egyptians. Notice now the significance of this plague. Note the source from whence the lice came, the dust. Now, if you compare this with Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that's the place from whence man came. And so, therefore, God brought forth the lice from the dust. It's a very interesting thing, this. This judgment descended without any warning, as I have said. The dust of the ground suddenly sprang into life, assuming the most disgusting and annoying form. This blow was aimed more directly at the persons of the Egyptians. Their bodies covered with lice was a sore rebuke to their pride. You know, it's very strange that this was an unclean thing, very unclean. And so therefore, the people normally had to wash themselves and keep themselves clean, but here was a stroke of uncleanness now upon themselves. It was one thing to strike at their river, another thing for the frogs to come from the river and come into their house. But now, here the very thing that they detested is on their bodies. Here was a curse from God. Concerning this plague we read, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. How small a matter the Lord used to bring confusion upon these magicians. As soon as God restrained them, they were helpless. Turn water into blood, yes. Bring forth frogs, yes, they might, by God's permission. But when he withheld permission, they were impotent. Thus it is with Satan himself. His bounds are definitely prescribed by the Almighty, and beyond them he cannot go. Death he can inflict, by God's permission. Uncleanness he can bring forth freely, as the magicians illustrated in the first two plagues, but with the curse, which the dust becoming lice so plainly speaks of, he is not allowed to tamper with. The admission of the magicians on this occasion is noteworthy. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." These are their last recorded words. In the end, they were obliged to acknowledge the hand of God. So will it be in the last great day with the devil himself, and with all his hosts, and with all his victims. They too will have to bow before the Lord and publicly confess the supremacy of the Almighty. You see, here we have the admission of these Egyptian magicians. They said, "This is the finger of God." The confusion of Pharaoh and the further hardening of his heart. Although he was told by his own people, "This is the finger of God," still, he wouldn't listen. He hardened his heart. Now, you come to the next plague. It's the fourth plague. It's the third one in this chapter. The Lord said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And you say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so. Now you see, here is the fourth plague. It's the plague of flies. Now this plague is commenced, as it were, with a warning, and it's the commencement of a new series. We've seen three plagues. Here's the commencement of the second group of three. And so at the commencement there is a warning. And he goes in and he stands before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go that they may serve me else, if thou wilt not. You see, it's a matter of obey the word of God or else take the consequences. Well now, the demand of God is renewed. Let my people go that they may serve me. I indicated to you at the beginning of this message that we must take note of the word of God in this chapter and the word of God with its demands. When God speaks, he speaks with authority. And he makes the demand, let my people go. Again, I want to emphasize this, that when God speaks, men ought to listen. We should listen to the word of God. We should obey the word of God. We should act according to the word of God. If we close our ears against the word of God, we are heading for disaster. When God makes a demand, we should submit to it. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now remember this, that God's idea of bringing this people out of Egypt was not simply to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt, but it was that they might come out with some objective that they might serve him, that is, serve him in worship. But there's another thing to be noticed in connection with this fourth plague, and that is the distinction that is made between Israel and the Egyptians. He says, I will put a division between my people and thy people. You know, it's a remarkable truth this throughout the Word of God. In the beginning, way back in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God made a difference between the night and the day. He made a difference between the darkness and the light. Now if God makes a difference, we should recognize that difference. God made a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. God made a difference between the nation of Israel and the other nations. When you come into the New Testament, God makes a difference between those that are saved and those that are unsaved. He says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, and I shall be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters. And then he shows us there are certain things that must not be joined together. God makes a difference. Now, if God makes a distinction, you and I ought to recognize that distinction. Because if we don't recognize the distinction, then, of course, we are also headed for trouble. Here is what he says. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? On the strength of these be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The believer must not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? The answer is, none whatever. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate. God wants his people to be marked as being a separate people. He marked them out himself in Egypt, and he made a distinction between Israel and the Egyptians. Plain words, the judgment fell on Egypt, and all the Egyptians had to suffer from that plague. But over in the land of Goshen, that part of Egypt that was occupied by the Israelites, why, God didn't send the flies there. They were kept free. They were a different people. They were separate. God says, I'll make a difference. A distinction is made then between God's people and their enemies. God still makes that difference. And when you come to the last book of the Bible, there is a difference made between those who shall stand at the great white throne judgment and be judged there and condemned. The difference between them and those who are in Christ Jesus. For there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There's a difference between the saved and the unsaved. Just as big a difference as there is between night and day, and between darkness and light. But then there follows here a little discussion between Pharaoh and Moses. Pharaoh tries a compromise, but Moses makes the demand. There's to be no compromise. God says you make a difference. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Moses said, 'Tis not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. Now the whole thing is this. Pharaoh wants them to sacrifice in the land. Don't leave the land. I'll let you worship your own God, but in my territory. Now, says Moses, we can't do it. We must be obedient to God. We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and we'll worship God there. God willing, in our next study, we'll take up from that point.